The scripture reading today is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner and Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of earth? Who has descended is the same one who has ascended above all for the heavens, so that he might fit all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some would be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. To equip the saints to the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us has come to unity in faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of all the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about in the wind by every doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speak the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament which is equipped, as each part is working perfectly, promotes the body's growth and building itself in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Did a good job. Without twins, I don't know. It's been hard to find the lay readers and soloists and, yes, those who want to join, participate in the reading and singing, please let David and Chris know that you have interest in to join. As I was preparing my sermon, I was led by the Holy Spirit to think about strengths of the centenary church that please our Lord. First thing that came to my mind was Sunday school. I recall my first Sunday 2 years ago. I was impressed that when Don Younger rang the bell to announce the time for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., all Sunday school classes, from children to adults, began. No doubt that the teaching ministry has been strong in our church. Amen? I would like especially to praise Sunday school teachers who have been faithfully and passionately teaching Sunday school, some of whom have been serving for decades. Bill and Ida is on their vacation now, but Bill said he served almost 60 years. Wow. What will our Lord say to Centenary Church? He would say, I know your deeds. You have never stopped teaching my words. Keep up the good work. Amen to that. The second is outreach ministry. especially the GIF program. Unfortunately, the GIF has been suspended during the pandemic, and it is unknown if it will resume in the future. However, thanks to the enthusiasm of volunteers who have dedicated themselves to GIF for 26 years, I am confident that GIF will somehow revive as a new outreach program in the post-COVID era. Amen. Centenary has sent the Sega Brown mission team every 2 years to the AMCOR mission. I also know that some members have personally gone on mission trips. Few church members continued to volunteer for local missions, such as Parkview Community Mission and Food Pantry. What will our Lord tell us? He would say, I know your passion for missions. You have a few strengths, but you worked hard to put your faith into action. I will open a door in front of you that no one can shut, so that you can continue your mission in my name. Third strength I would like to recognize is the caring ministry, especially the hospitality ministry in particular. I was amazed to look at how wonderfully the welcoming banquet table was prepared on the first Sunday at Centenary. I thought maybe there was a professional hospitality team in the church. And guess what? Soon I found out that I was right. We also have wonderful volunteers riding cars, making phone calls, visiting hospitals and hospitals for sick members and shut-in members. I can't forget two church members who personally came and asked me a question at the welcoming banquet on the first Sunday at Centenary Church. One was Betty Aldridge, who had passed away 3 months after I began my ministry. Betty asked, honey, I don't know, I'm trying, honey, can you visit shut-in members with me? I replied, of course. Then Betty took me to visit shut-in members with her the very next week until she was hospitalized. So we went together to visit about five, six shut-in members for 3 weeks. Although my time with Betty was short, I was grateful she helped me have a good first impression of the church. Wow, this is such a wonderful church, better than I expected. The other church member was Ann Hopper. I'm sorry, Ann. but I have your permission. It's going to be okay. At the banquet, Anne asked me, Pastor, do you think visiting shut-in members is the pastor's responsibility? Two questions in a law. I answered, sure. Shut-in members are still church members, and I would love to visit them. One day, Betty, Anne, and I went to see Anna Martin together. Anna was so happy to see us and teared when she received communion after a long, long time. Through Betty and Anne, the Lord helped me focus more on the caring ministry, which needed attention at the time. What will our Lord say about our church? He would say, I know about your radical hospitality and caring heart for others. Keep doing good work for the church. I'm sure we also have many weaknesses that our Lord wants us to overcome. We will have an opportunity to look at them later. But today, let us consider how we can build up our church stronger and mature in the text. First, we are called to unity in the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul uses the word one seven times to emphasize our fundamental unity as believers in Christ. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father over us all. The one church Christ is building consists of all true believers who have been born again through faith in Christ. This is gospel unity, not uniformity. It is a unity even among great diversity. Diversity among age and ethnicity. Diversity that goes throughout all nations and generations. There may be differences of opinion on things theological or things political or issues regarding non-essential Christian lifestyle. But the fact of the matter is that as Christians, there is more that unites us than that which divides us. We are sinners. Jesus died for us. We are children of God who have promised eternal life. We are commissioned to not only share the good news, but to serve the word through the body of Christ, His church. Those are things we have in common. Those are the qualities that set us apart as the church. Second, we each have a different function in the body of Christ. In verse 7, Paul says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." The grace Paul is speaking of here is not the grace of salvation, but gifts or abilities. God, in His grace, provides each one of His people with spiritual gifts to serve the church, to maintain unity, to walk in a manner fulfilling their calling. Some are pastors, some are teachers, some are ushers, some are choir members, some are lay readers, and some are lawnmowers. But all are necessary. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 through 17, Paul talked about our human bodies having many parts: feet, hands, ears, eyes, noses, each of those parts being vital to the welfare of the body at large. So also, each member of the church is important to the church, the body of Christ. Do you know how boring it would be if everyone in this church was a pastor? You couldn't stand it even 1 minute. Or if the only gift we had in this church was singing, who would serve in the kitchen? If every member of this church had teaching gifts, there would be no students. Varied gifts, everyone valuable, and everyone essential. That's how God created the church to be. Therefore, it is important for us to respect each individual member of the body of Christ. Those who think, well, I'm over 90, don't tell me. I'm done it. I have done it. But no, I ask Catherine, you are 92, so she's going to be the coordinator of ladies who lunch. And Charlie Lane, you are also 92? 91. Okay, how? But Charlie has been coordinated for men's who lunch more than decade, I guess. Third, we must mature into the fullness of Christ. In verses 11 and 12, we are told that He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Here Paul mentions believers as saints. We are saints. Paul isn't trying to give us the list of church leaders' gift here. Rather, Paul is simply telling us that the purpose of the gifts of church leaders given by God is equipping each member to build up the body of Christ. Why do we need pastors and teachers? This is because God intended the members of the church to grow spiritually through the gifts of pastors and teachers, and so on. Then, how far does the Lord want believers to grow? According to verse 13, it says, until we all reach unity in the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This means that we all are on a journey to spiritual maturity until we become like Christ. Look at your neighbor. Do you see Christ in them? Do you see Christ in them? They see you. They see Christ in you as well. As we know from our physical bodies, we cannot grow strong if our body parts are in rebellion, if they are fighting one another. Perhaps the best example of this are autoimmune diseases, where the body loses its ability to distinguish between foreign substance, which the immune system needs to attack, and one's own body, which the immune system needs to live intact. In like manner, the church cannot grow strong if the individual members are not working in harmony. As we may have probably experienced, working harmoniously in the church ministry is harder than it sounds. In verse 15, Paul gives us wisdom words, saying, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things growing up into him who is the head, Christ. Paul says that the only way we can grow into the fullness of Christ is by speaking truth in love. It means that the motives of our ministry and mission must be from our love for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here, Paul urges us to practice agape love, love that focuses on the well-being of the other person. That kind of love makes it possible for us to hold our temper when things don't go our way and to maintain harmonious relationships even with our opponents. Become like Christ. This is the goal of every Christian. This is the reason why our church's ministry and mission have continued, even in the pandemic. And this is the reason why our church should exist until it achieves that goal. Beloved, let us remember that we are one body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we as church are the body of Christ. We can't always agree with each other, but essentially we are one body. We all have a unique function in our church. I believe Centenary can build up a strong church by recognizing each other's gifts and grace and encourage one another in God's love and grace. Let's look at your neighbor one more time. Tell them, you are so important. I know you've been done so many things, and you will do so many things for God. May God bless you and your family as we come together to build up the body of Christ. Amen.